The first five verses that we read from Genesis chapter 3 is a pivotal passage in the Bible because of what happened in the first five verses that we talked about and the decisions that Eve made after that conversation. Everything else that's in the Bible is in the Bible. I mean, because of what happened, the discussion that went on in those first five verses and the decisions that Eve made after that, everything else is in the Bible is there because of what happened there in the garden on that day when the serpent and Eve were talking. She made a decision that day that basically changed the future of every single person that's ever been born. Tonight, I have a real simple sermon. I preach on the subject tonight, snake talk. Snake talk. And I want you to listen because if we're not careful, snake talk will creep into our lives and it will do the same thing to us that it did to Eve. And so, I'm just like I did this morning, I just want to tell you what my outline is tonight. I'm going to talk about, first of all, the results of snake talk. I want to talk about what the snake talk ended up costing Eve. And then I want to tell you where you hear snake talk so you can be on the lookout for it. And then number three, I want to tell you what snake talk is. I would remind you tonight that Satan hasn't changed since the Garden of Eden. Hasn't changed. He, just like he wanted to do for Eve and for Adam, he wanted to destroy them. He wants to destroy us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So, let me tell you what the results of snake talk was for Eve and what it will do for us if we're not careful. First of all, snake talk broke the relationship that Eve had with God. Eve lived in the Garden of Eden. Before she talked to the snake, she was able to walk and talk with God in the cool of the day. I can just picture how this played out in my mind. I can picture her almost as a young child, although she was a woman when she was created, but I can just picture as a young child, almost like a young child, with the wonder of a one child, a young child discovering new things in the Garden of Eden every day. You see, I don't think God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and they discovered the whole thing in a matter of seconds. I think they lived there for a number of years. The Bible doesn't tell us how long, but I think they lived there for a number of years, and I think they enjoyed the Garden of Eden. I think they enjoyed going out every day, discovering something new, a new flower, a new tree, a new vegetable, a new fruit. And I think they had joy at the end of the day when the Bible says that God came and talked to them, just showing God what they discovered that day. God already knew it existed. He spoke everything into existence. But he enjoyed them coming to him and saying, "You'll never guess what we found today. You'll never guess what we discovered." And they had joy in doing that. She used to be, at the end of the day, tell God what she'd learned that day, the lesson that she learned. And again, they had a job to care for the garden. And I'm sure there's things that they learned every day. And at the end of the day, she could talk to God. She could tell him what she had discovered. She could tell him what she had learned. She could ask God questions. They had a special relationship, Adam and Eve did, with God. I think that pictures the relationship we're going to have with him in heaven. I mean, he created them to fellowship with him. He created them to have that special relationship with him. That's what he desires with every person that he's created, with every person he's made. I know some of you might say tonight, "Well, I wasn't created, I was born." No, you were made by God. You wouldn't have been conceived, you wouldn't have been born if God wasn't in it. And so not physically like he created Adam and Eve, but in the same sense he created each of us. He desires a special relationship with each of us. The relationship that I think we're going to enjoy in heaven, where and I know there's no day and night in heaven, but every time we discover something new, every time we have a question, every time we want to show something to God, we can come before his presence and do that. She started listening to what the snake said and made a decision where she lost the ability to do that. She lost that special relationship that she had with God. I will tell you tonight, the snake, Satan, wants to do one of two things to every single person here. He either wants, if you're not saved, he wants to keep you from getting saved. He wants to keep you away from the Savior. He wants to keep you away from the cross. He wants to keep you away from the gospel. And he'll do everything that he can to keep you away from all of that. If you come in contact with it, he'll be there. The same time the Holy Spirit is trying to get you to receive Christ, he'll be there to say, hey, you don't need to listen to that. It's not true. If it's true, you got plenty of time to do it. You don't need to do it today. You have plenty of time to do it. And just as much as the Holy Spirit tries to draw us to Christ, Satan tries to keep us away. Now, if you're a Christian tonight, like most of us are, he knows that he can never take your salvation away from you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He can't snatch you from the hand of God. Jesus said, when you get saved, I put you in my hand. You are in God the Father's hand, and there is no power, including Satan, that can get you out of there. But he wants to mess up your life. He wants to mess up my life. He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to destroy the special relationship that we have with God. And again, we talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning. The relationship the Israelites had when they had that one-on-one, face-to-face relationship with God, but because of their sin, he removed them out of his sight. He had to do the same thing to Adam and Eve. When they sinned, he had to remove them out of his sight. Didn't mean he quit caring for them, doesn't mean he quit loving them, but he had to expel them from his presence because of their sin. So snake talk caused Eve to break the relationship we had with God. Snake talk destroyed her family. She had a wonderful husband. She had good kids. As a result of the snake talk, her husband disobeyed God. Listen, because of that snake talk, her husband disobeyed God. The Bible says that Eve was deceived. Adam sinned. He willfully disobeyed God. Her oldest son murdered his brother. The perfect family that God had created was destroyed. If we're not careful, snake talk will not only break the special relationship that we have with God, it will destroy our family. And then snake talk robbed Eve of her happiness. Perfect family, ideal home, wonderful relationship with God. Eve had not one thing in the world to worry about. Eve had not one thing in the world to be concerned about. Eve had not one thing in the world that she had to be anxious about. But when she listened to the snake talk, it resulted in the destruction of everything that she held dear. She was kicked out of their home. Her relationship with God was broken. Her family was torn apart. Snake talk robbed her of everything that was precious to her. And I submit to you tonight that if we listen to snake talk, if we make decisions based on snake talk, that the same thing will happen to us. Satan hadn't changed. Where do we hear snake talk? Well, where did Eve hear snake talk? She heard it in the Garden of Eden. What was the Garden of Eden to Eve? Well, first of all, it was her home. It was the place where she lived, the place where she ate, the place where she slept, the place where she raised her family. It was her shelter. The snake got into it and destroyed it. If you're not careful, there will be snake talk going on in your home. You say, well, preacher, we don't let Satan in our home. We don't let snakes in our home. Oh, really? How many of you have a TV? Don't raise your hand. I'd have to raise my hand. I got one. If we're not careful, snake talk will come across the television. If we're not careful, snake talk will come across radios. If we're not careful, snake talk will come across music that we have in our homes or books that we have in our homes. Snake talk could even come from members of our family. What was the Garden of Eden to Eve? It was not only her home, it was the place that she worked. Adam and Eve had a job in the Garden of Eden. They were to care for it. It was a place that they were put by God to care for this garden. There are probably snakes in the place that you work. Their objective is to tear you down. Their objective is to destroy you. Now, they won't come out and state that objective, but when we get to talking about what snake talk is, you'll understand what I mean. So what was the Garden of Eden to Eve? It was her home. It was the place that she worked. It was the place that she learned. So in a sense, you can say it was her school. The place she learned about God. The place she learned about the world. The place that God was preparing her to be a wife, to be a mother. I will tell you, there are snakes in schools. Sometimes teachers talk snake talk. Sometimes our friends talk snake talk. Sometimes people we have no idea who they are, but we interact with them at school talk snake talk. What was the Garden of Eden to Eve? It was her home. It was a place that she worked. It was a place that she worshiped God. It was a place she learned. It was also the place that she worshiped God. It was the place that she directed her love toward God. It was her church, so to speak. I'll just be honest with you tonight. There are snakes in churches, and there is snake talk going on in churches. There are pastors this morning that instead of preaching, talk snake talk. There are Sunday school teachers this morning that instead of teaching God's word, talk snake talk. There were choirs that sang this morning. Instead of singing the gospel, instead of singing to the glory of God, they sang snake talk. What was the Garden of Eden to Eve? What was the Garden of Eden to Eve? It was a place she lived. It was a place she worked. It was a place she learned. It was a place she worshiped. It was a place she had fun. I think Adam and Eve enjoyed themselves in the Garden of Eden. I think they had fun. They had fun interacting with each other. They had fun interacting with God. Do you know there's snake talk where you have fun? There's snake talk in the bowling alley. There's snake talk in restaurants. There's snake talks in places that we go to enjoy ourselves. And there is talk going on in those places whose objective is to break our relationship with God, to destroy our family, to rob us of our happiness. And tonight, I want to live the day over. I had such a blessed day today, I just wish I could start over. I'd teach another Sunday school lesson. I'd preach two more sermons. But tonight's tonight, so here we go. But tonight, I want to wave a big yellow flag, a caution flag. Here's my point. You can hear snake talk wherever you go. You can hear snake talk where you live. You can hear snake talk where you work. You can hear snake talk where you learn. You can hear snake talk where you go to church. You can hear snake talk where you go to have fun. And again, the objective of the snake in talking the way that he does is to break the special relationship that we have with our God, to destroy our families, and to rob us of the joy that we have in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So number three, what's snake talk? Well, snake talk, first of all, is talk that casts doubt on the Word of God or tries to change the Word of God. Satan said, the serpent said, "Hath God said?" Hath God said? We read it there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. "Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Didn't God say that you could enjoy every tree? Didn't God say that every tree in the garden is yours, that you can pick the fruit of it and eat it? Now, Eve said, "Oh no, We can eat of every tree in the Garden of Eden except the one in the midst. And God said, she added to the word of God, because God said not to eat it, lest you die. Eve added to the word of God. God said not only not to eat it, he said not to touch it. Now, as I read what I find in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, I can't find it where God said not to touch it. I can find where God said not to eat it. And so she said, we can eat of every tree in the Garden of Eden except the one in the midst. God said, don't eat of that one. And she added, we're not to touch it, because he said, in the day that we eat it, we'll die. And then Satan says, in verse 4 we read it, ye shall not surely die. What he was saying is, now listen, Eve, God didn't really mean what he said. I know the word sort of sounded like he meant what he said, but that's not really what God meant. And that's what snake talk is. It's taking the word of God and trying to change it. It's telling people that God in his word really didn't mean what he said. And tonight, I'd just like to stomp a snake, if you'll allow me to do it. God is very careful about the words that he used in the Bible. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Man did not write this book. God wrote this book. He dictated it to secretaries, about 40 of them, that he picked out. And they wrote word for word what God told them to write. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I'll remind you tonight something that we've talked about often. God picked out every word that he wanted in this book. And every word is important. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, Jesus said, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Not only did God pick the words, he picked the punctuation marks, the jots and the tittles, the accents and the periods and the commas and the exclamation marks. They are all important. And in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add him unto the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. God says, don't mess with my word. And snake talk is when somebody tries to say, well, that's not what God said, or that's not what God meant. People that teach evolution are snakes, because the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. People that say that Jesus wasn't virgin born are snakes, because the Bible says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. People that teach the blood is not important and take the blood out of the Bible. You know, there's Bibles you can buy today that have taken all the blood out of the Bible. They've taken it all out. They're snakes. Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. So anybody in your workplace, in your school, in your church, in your home, in your place where you go to have fun, that casts doubt on that this is the word of God, that casts doubt that God meant what he said, is a snake. Don't listen to him. Because snake talk could cause us to lose the special relationship that we have with God. Again, not lose our salvation, but lose that special closeness that God wants us to have with him. It can destroy our homes. It can destroy our happiness. Snake talk, number two, is talk that says you can be your own God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, Satan said, or the serpent said, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. We call this humanism today. It's the belief that's still being taught. It's been taught from Genesis chapter 3 that we can be gods, that man is inherently good, that if we're allowed to develop to our full potential, we'll turn into God. And anything that disrupts this natural development is wrong. The humanists say parents should not discipline or instruct their children because that'll mess up their natural development. These are people that say society shouldn't force a person into being male or female based on physical characteristics. They ought to be able to decide what they are on their own. These are people that say there's no absolute authority. Each person gets to decide for themselves. And there are snakes that are teaching this religion called humanism, that we can be our own gods, that we are the ultimate authority, that are teaching it in our schools. It's being taught in our churches. It's being taught in the press. It's being taught in our society. And we need to close our ears. We need to not listen to it, because the end of the snake talk is to destroy our relationship that we have with God, to destroy our families, to destroy our happiness. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made, but that we're not gods. David asks the question in Psalm chapter 8, verse 4, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" David was out in the night sky. He looked up and saw the moon and the stars. He saw the planets that he could see. And he said, when I see all this, what am I compared to God? What am I compared to the one that created all this and hung it in space and keeps it all together? When I look at it and consider it and consider the power that God has gone into this creation, what am I that God would even think about me? We're not gods. We will never be gods. We need the authority of this book. And then number three, snake talk says that you can please God another way than his way. Here's what the serpent says. Now look, you think, Eve, that if you don't eat the fruit, that you'll please God. You think if you'll be obedient to what you think God said, that you'll be able to please him. He said, let me give you an alternative. You eat the fruit, you'll be like God. If you really want to please him, you go ahead and eat the fruit, and then you'll be a god, he'll be a god, and you can interact as gods. And you can please him in that way by eating the fruit. Now again, Satan hadn't changed. He says to people today, you can please God in a way other than what God says to please him. There are alternative ways to please God. For example, Satan will tell us today, the serpent will say us today, snake talk today says that you can be saved another way than through Jesus Christ. You can be saved by another means than the blood. You can be saved by another means than the cross. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. How much clearer does God need to be? How much clearer does God need to be when he says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins? How much clearer does God need to be? There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to get saved. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ and the price that he paid for us on Calvary's cross. And anybody that says there's another way to get right with God, anybody that says there's another way to please God, anybody that says there's another way to get to heaven than other than Jesus Christ is a snake, is a liar, is trying to get you to go to hell, because there is no other way. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The world will say, everybody's going to go to heaven. The world will say, well, let's just compare as we close tonight. Let's just compare what God said and what the world says. Let's compare what God says and what the snake says. The Bible says that we're all sinners. What does the snake say? Hey, we're all okay. We're not bad. Deep down, we're all good inside. When the Bible says, when God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there's none righteous, no, not one. God doesn't really mean that. He made us all. He put goodness in all of us. God says, the wages of sin is death. Separation from God forever. What does the snake say? Snake says, we have a God of love. And a God of love would not make a place called hell. And a God of love would never send anybody to hell. A God of love will always give us a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance, and a fifth chance. He will never punish anybody eternally. The Bible says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The snake says, oh, there's lots of other ways that you can get right with God. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, the Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so tonight, there's snakes everywhere. Everywhere. They creep into our houses. They creep into our schools. If we're not careful, they'll creep into our churches. They creep into the places that we go to have fun. They have one purpose. They want to destroy us. They want to destroy everything that's important to us. They want to destroy the relationship that we have with God. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. If you listen to a preacher on TV and he casts doubt on this book, if he makes a statement that says, well, God didn't really mean what he says, take your shoe off and throw it at him. If you bust a TV, you've probably done a good thing. If you got a book in your home that casts doubt on this word and says, well, God didn't really mean what he says, and take it and burn it. Take it and burn it. If you have people that you hang with that cast doubt on this book and make statements that imply that God didn't really mean what he said, find somebody else to hang with. Satan's desire, his desire is to destroy us. Don't listen to snake talk. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the warnings that are in this book. I pray tonight we'd heed, we'd listen. There's snakes all over. Father, help us to step on them. Help us to flee from them. Help us not to listen. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's listened to the world about how to get right with you. Listen to the snake that there's other ways. Help them to understand tonight that Jesus is the only way. There's no other way to come to you but through him. And I pray tonight, that there's just one person here. And I don't care if this is their first time here, if they've been here every time these doors have been open, if they're not sure of heaven, if they're not sure that they've asked Jesus to be their Savior, help them, Father, tonight to make sure, to know for sure that Jesus is their Savior and heaven is their home. As Christians, help us to beware of what the lies that Satan tells. Help us to stand on this book. As we sang the song tonight, the Bible stands. Help us to stand on it. Just bless this time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.